What is a Coast Insider? Who is a Coast Insider? I'm a Coast Insider. A Coast Insider is a fan of all things curious and unexplained. Everything that we talk about every single night on Coast to Coast. Coast Insiders get an all-access pass to exclusive Coast to Coast AM content covering current events, conspiracy theories, paranormal phenomena, alien abduction, and more. Become an insider today and sign up at coasttocoastam.com and browse all 5 years of the show archives for 15 cents a day. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, Alfred Weber is with us. His new book is The Omniverse, Transdimensional Intelligence, Time Travel, The Afterlife, and The Secret Colony on Mars. More with Mr. Weber right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter right now, at JChurch Radio. It's live to my left. I'm looking at the feed. Any questions for myself or Alfred Weber? I will see them in real time. Now, his new book is The Omniverse, and that's what we're discussing. And Alfred, right before the break, I wanted to ask you about, you know, that universal law of the afterlife and how it applies to ET. But before you get to that, we were talking about the United Nations and how if we should have an ambassador, if you will, an exopolitical ambassador. If ET lands, let's just say the proverbial White House landing and the ramp comes down, who would you suggest that to stand at the end of that red carpet and greet ET for planet Earth?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's kind of early in the program, but I know somebody who's running on that platform.
Andrew Bishago?
Yeah.
I could almost see that. That's who comes to mind first for you? That's the name that you would put in the hat?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Andy. This is just to have kind of a truth in lending here, okay? I've known Andy Bishago personally for 15 years. He's a man of consummate integrity. He's known me since 1971, which is over 40 years. That's when he first saw my book, Exopolitics, as a childhood participant in DARPA CIA's Project Pegasus. And I've been working with him now for 15 years. I've been helping him develop many of his platforms, one of which is the Mars Treaty. And that is that we all know, and in fact, you can go to Chapter 3 on the Omniverse and you will see both legal evidence and scientific evidence that there is intelligent life on Mars, that the Martian civilization and the U.S. civilization have been interacting with each other for at least 30 years, that Martians have been coming here, members of the Martian Astronaut Corps and others have been coming here since at least 1970. Andy Bishago met some Martian astronauts in 1970 on an East Coast base together with his father. Conversely, the U.S. has had bases, and some people say much more nefarious things, under the Mars Colony Corporation, which has been under the kind of CEO-ship of a guy who flunked out of Yale when he was a sophomore, and I was a freshman, called Richard B. Cheney, who reportedly turned many of the Mars Colony, which recruited people here on Earth to go there under, hey, come on, you know, do this for God and country, and they get there to Mars and they're slave labor. So we have, Andy and I have developed the Mars Treaty, which is a UN treaty, which is in conformity with the UN Outer Space Treaty of 1967 and the Mars Treaty of 1969, which is between two sovereign planets, the civilizations on Mars and the civilizations on Earth. And so we don't have the U.S. Department of Defense and the matrix powers of the earthly bankers and other bloodlines trying to colonize Mars and use it as a jumping off place and slave labor place for their own enrichment. And that's what Andy's going to do. His being elected president, I think you'll have, number one, release of planetary teleportation, which is what we have to do. We have to get beyond fossil fuels, which are polluting, which cause oil wars, which take up tremendous land space in terms of the highways, the overpasses in cities, have killed cities. Just read Jane Jacobs and she'll tell you all about it. And what we have, he used to go as a childhood participant to a DARPA forward time base in the year 2045. And by that time, teleportation was commonplace, so that, you know, you decide you're in New York, you're in San Francisco, you're in wherever, and you want to have lunch in Paris or you want to have lunch in Moscow. I mean, it's, you know, we're going to be beyond the Cold War and beyond this bankers' wars by then, and we'll have advanced planetary status, which is teleportation, which is most of the omniverse works on telepathy and teleportation. And now you have the young kids with a, you know, they have the 5-strand DNA coming in, and, you know, everybody's getting more telepathic. So we're starting to get there. And energy, free energy, Andy's going to release all of the free energy that is now in sequestered projects, all sorts of medical cures. And
let me jump in really quick.
Ambassador to the UN. So guess what? I'm committed to implementing and signing that Mars Treaty as ambassador to the UN.
For more on Andy Bishago, you can go to his website and check it out and all of those questions that are there. Certainly, if Andy makes it all the way to the White House, Alfred, there's no doubt about it. I think the question of disclosure would be answered, and that would would definitely
go to andy2016.com. And I just want to say one final thing, because I know that this program is about the omniverse, and I really want to focus on that. But this is really important. It's a really important step for humanity, not to find itself on some kind of trumped up charges before a universe court, but rather to find a smooth entry into universe society. And that is, Andy's a person that CIA, reportedly DARPA CIA time travel, pre-identified him as a future US president. So I think this is in the cards. So if you're searching around and you're really not happy with what you see, I mean, I call them the trumped up candidates, right, who are out there, vote for Andy Bishago. Right now it's going to be a write-in campaign. And that's the end of my paid political endorsement.
Yeah, Andrew's a great guy. He's been a guest on Coast to Coast many times, and of course over on my show Too Faded Black. He's a great guy, and he's steadfast, and you can't crack Andy for sure. Now, before the break, Alfred, I wanted to ask you, do the universal laws of the afterlife, do they apply to ET?
Absolutely, because you see, to the other ETs, you're an ET. And this is the deal, okay? This is the deal. As souls, we're based in a non-local, non-temporal base. Both you and I, Jimmy, at this point, our souls are in our respective avatars. Remember that movie Avatar?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Alfred and Jimmy are avatars, and it's our souls that are animating our avatars. we use our avatars to navigate the three-dimensional temporal dimension of space, of Earth space. In other words, Alfred and Jimmy are avatars with their biological avatars. And what the science shows is that our souls can, quote, simultaneously be leading multiple lives. In other words, we can be leading lives right here on Earth as Alfred and Jimmy, and, quote, simultaneously at the same time, you're off in some other constellation in this universe or in some other galaxy, and you're in an avian planet, you know, as an advanced avian intelligence, because that's what you want, and another part of your soul, because not the entirety of the soul is involved. In other words, reincarnation and incarnation is not the whole activity of a soul. A lot of what we do is involved in the creation, maintenance, design of the universes and all of the galaxies and planets and solar systems therein. So maybe you're deployed up in some galaxy someplace and you're adjusting time in there, or you're helping develop a new species, or you're, you know, moving along a life-bearing planet that is in a certain stage where animal life is just developing at that point. We're in a really complex, multidimensional, multi-activity, multitasking. We are only right now, part of our multitasking is being Jimmy and Alfred in the Earth dimension, but we're involved in a lot of things at the same time, so that all, quote, extraterrestrials are in fact souls that are inside avatars of Pleiadians, of reptilians, of Orion grays, of grays. There are 150 species of grays that are known now, of the Sirians, of all of the visitors that we have here, all of them are avatars, because the universes are like theme parks for avatars, and they're theme parks for souls. And our souls say, hey, you're getting deployed to theme park universe number XYZ.
Right.
And you're going to be this particular type of ET. And this is what you need right now, because you need to work on this aspect of, you know, your development. And we know that you can handle two or three lives at once. So your guides get together and this is what you do. So that's what the data shows.
Well, what about, Alfred, that fuzzy ball of religion that we went through here? Is ET going through that same religious question and lumping everything together into that fuzziness?
Well, the answer again is yes and no, because remember that we're in a very special sector of the universe here. We're in an impacted planet, and our planet has been under universe quarantine for about 250,000 years. The spiritual circuits have been shut off, and that has been done because a whole group of what we can call them rogue ETs, ranging from the Anunnaki to the Draco reptilians, to the Orion Greys, some people say came in here from Andromeda, made deals with the planetary leadership here and the spiritual leadership of this sector of the galaxy or universe under historical figures whose names resonate in our literature, like Lucifer and Satan. Those are historical names for Star Wars events that took place in the distant past, long, long ago, but they took place here. And so we're still in the aftermath of that. So we're in an impacted sector. And so it's actually to our advantage, because incarnating on Earth, it's like, you know, think of if you're applying to university and you have the choice of Harvard, MIT, and then community college, and you get into Harvard or MIT. Now, that's nothing against community college, okay?
Right, got you.
Comma. However, incarnating on Earth is actually a great privilege, because star seeds are aware souls, like the majority of the listeners to this program are here because our mission is to help elevate this planet and bring about its reintegration into universe society after 200,000 to a million years of our being in quarantine because of this rebellion, which not only included ETs, comma, it also includes a machine-based and plasma-based intelligence that we call artificial intelligence. And that's a mix that is just coming into exopolitics now, that through a whole number of scholars like Hal Kausvela and a whole community, we have just completed a whole series of symposia on the exopolitical impacts of artificial intelligence. People who want to follow that can go to our websites, exopolitics.com or newsinsideout.com. And that's kind of a newcomer to the exopolitical mix. But we're here at a very exciting cosmic time. And just remember, the first letter of my last name is W, and this might be corny, but I'll say it anyway. Just always think of W. There's a double U. There's you, the avatar, and then there's you, the soul. And you have to almost have double vision so that you know how to distinguish between what Alfred's doing and what the soul of Alfred's doing. And that's why many cultures say, Namaste, I salute the God within you, because everyone that you encounter is a holographic fragment of God and is God inside that avatar.
Well, for all of the intelligent civilizations that you refer to that were created by souls in the afterlife, which is easy enough to grasp onto, but what about non-intelligent or negative civilizations that are here for bad intentions and not here for our own good?
Well, they are intelligent. And you see, the equation and the design in this universe is free will. And that's where the design criterion in this particular universe as a free will universe was to throw the dice. Okay, you've got free will. You want to do what occurred in this event. Some people call it the Lucifer Rebellion 200,000 years ago plus, and say, oh, there is no God. This is one of the people that was in charge from a spiritual point of view. He was fairly high up in terms of running, affairs in this segment at a spiritual level, and then on down into the time, space, energy, and matter level with all the creatures like us in there, like avatars in there, and saying, God doesn't exist. God is a myth. God is a creation. God is a meme that they're using to control you. And that's what began with the Lucifer Rebellion, and that was free will. And then they sucked in a whole bunch of civilizations ranging from the Anunnaki to the Dracos to the Orion Greys, and then all those people came in, and they, we had Star Wars, we had I mean, if you look at our solar system alone.
Well, I need to jump in, Alfred. We're against a break here. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll finish that thought when we come back tonight. Alfred Weber is our guest. His book is The Omniverse. And we're going to jump into the existence of a secret base on Mars. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Wow, the cool tones of Dusty Springfield. I got to tell you, if I was a DJ back in the 60s, I'd play that all day long. Have you read this? If you go to Coast to Coast AM right now, you can read this right now. The Secret to Living Forever. A tech company, it's called Humai. They reveal a way to bring you back after death, and they are hopeful that their science fiction work of today may become science fact 30 years from now. Humai, it's based right here in Los Angeles, and it's funded entirely by CEO and founder Joss Bocanegra. You can go and check it out right now at Coast to Coast AM. Go to the news section. It's an amazing read. Tonight, Alfred Weber is with us. His new book, The Omniverse, Transdimensional Intelligence, Time Travel, the Afterlife, and the Secret Colony on Mars, which is what we're going to discuss next. Stay with us. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Alfred Weber. And Alfred, the colony on Mars, is that where that missing $1.5 trillion went?
A good part of it could have gone to the secret space program, which includes the colonization of Mars. And contrary to the terms of the 1967 Outer Space Conference, I like to call and I like to say that the secret strategy of the U.S. government is to make Mars the 51st state.
What do you make
of... in the same way that it took over Puerto Rico in the Spanish-American War, well, through a stealth strategy, it's colonizing the whole planet, which is filled full of minerals and other riches, and that's what it's doing, and that's its secret strategy. But that's against the Outer Space Treaty, and so that's why, among the many, many other reasons, Andy Bashago and the up to 10 Mars experiencers that I've personally interacted with, all of their stories line up and are congruent, that the U.S. once again is a rogue in international and outer space law and attempting to incorporate a planet as a covert 51st state. That is my kind of conclusion as an international war crimes judge who's adjudged the Bush administration, George W. Bush, Richard B. Cheney, Donald H. Rumsfeld, and their lawyers as war criminals, along with Tony Blair. And I think that they're doing the same strategy that they tried to do in Iraq. They're doing it with Mars, which is to colonize it and to incorporate it as 51st state, which is even more than they did with Iraq.
What do you make about the prevalence of the photography that is all over the internet of different anomalies on the surface of Mars, not only from Curiosity, but all of the images that are presented? What do you think? Is that actual evidence?
Yes, it's what we call in the law documentary evidence, and in this case, we have documentary evidence that's backed up by eyewitness experiencers who are interpreting that documentary evidence, and by that means, we have the Mars Anomaly Research Society, MARS. You can go to projectmars.net, and that was founded by Mars experiencer Andrew D. Bashago. I happen to be the chairman of the board of advisors, and there's a whole cadre of photo analysts worldwide who are looking at all of the Mars rover photographs. NASA uses 7 different technologies to try and make it very, very difficult for the civilian population on Earth to take those photographs and to get into it and really see the different species of humans on there, the different animals, the different configurations. Mars is an organized teeming planet. It's teeming with life. It's highly populated with intelligent life. It's got its own social system. It's got, if you believe all of the different whistleblowers, it's got different intelligent civilizations there. Some of them are humans around the equatorial region. Some of them may be reptilian and insectoid up at the polar regions. We have whole battalions of Marines there that are deployed to the Mars Colony Corporation, which are guarding the colonies. And we've had, we know, documented through whistleblowers Andy Bishago, Bernard Mendez, and many others. We have a list of about 20 people that we know were part of the 1980 CIA Mars Jump Room project, whereby a sort of a jump room or modified teleportation technology that was gifted to the U.S. Department of Defense by a specific species of grays was used to help sort of jumpstart, not to use a pun intended, the U.S. presence on Mars. And included in there was one young Barry Satoro. He's a gentleman who currently occupies the U.S. White House under his current name, named Barack Obama Peren Jr., which he changed his name from Barack Munaid Obama, Barack Munaid Ubaya, in October of 1982 at a British Columbia court here, not too far here from Vancouver. Barack Munaid Ubaid was the CIA name that they had been given to him as a CIA operative when he changed it from Barry Satoro. And then they gave him the name Barack Obama, which was the name of a middle-level Kenyan civil servant named Barack Obama Sr., who they had set up in a meeting in Hawaii around 1971 with the supposed mother of Barack Obama, who was kind of a CIA handler, and he agreed to be the father. But then in 1982, the CIA killed him in an assassination auto accident, and that's when they gave him the orders to come here to BC and change his name, because he was running stuff for the CIA, including being a Mars experiencer. And so we have multiple witnesses, all congruent, of Barack Obama being part of the Mars program, Barack Obama on the surface of Mars. What he said in his first time there, he said, quote, "Oh, now we're here." And what happened is that I was a judge in Kuala Lumpur on the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, hearing that the case versus the Bush and Tony Blair administrations for the illegal invasion of Iraq, when what happened is that I had published, I had broken the story of this in the Examiner as an Examiner reporter, and they brought out the public relations director of the U.S. National Security Council, which includes the president, the vice president, secretary of defense, and the secretary of state, to deny that story. And all of my information was taken down from Examiner. I was the highest read political reporter on Examiner, and the orders came down from the White House to take those stories down. And that's contrary to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And I say that as a man who has taught law at Yale University and have taught the Bill of Rights at the University of Texas.
Right.
So that was done in direct violation of my constitutional rights as a journalist.
Right. Alfred, let me jump in for a second really quick before we run out of time. The technology for the jump room and for transportation to Mars and to establish a colony there, where did that technology come from? Did we get help from E.T. at that point?
Yeah, that was gifted to the U.S. according to multiple whistleblowers on the project, including Bernard Mendez, who was a presidential-level advisor. That was gifted by a specific species of gray ETs to the U.S. government to jumpstart the U.S. Presence and colonization of the solar system.
And what did you make of, we've been talking about Andrew Bishago all night. It was kind of an accident, but I appreciate that. When the revealing from NASA a few weeks ago about the presence of water on Mars and flowing water and where it's coming from, well, Andrew talked about that a long time ago. Andrew talked about blue skies on Mars a long time ago, that the skies weren't red. And it seems like everything that Andrew talked about in the past is now something that NASA freely talks about. And they've quit altering, I think, it's my opinion, they've quit changing the colors in their photographs. And when we look at the real colors, it looks like an atmosphere. What is next? Is NASA going to say that we don't need spacesuits, like Andrew said, that there's plenty of oxygen there and we'll be able to walk around freely on Mars? Is that what is coming next?
Well, they're doing that kind of drip, drip, drip strategy, no pun intended, with the water. And so what their strategy is, what NASA's strategy? Yeah, disclosure strategy, to put kind of a nice word on it, is, I can only guess it, certainly what we're trying to do tonight and what we're doing in the book, The Omniverse, and what all of the whistleblowers are doing and what you guys at Coast to Coast are doing is pushing the envelope as much as we can. Because we have a man in the White House who's been on Mars, and he's putting out the word and reports and say that they have no definitive evidence that extraterrestrials exist. So the United States and the Americans are being put in an advanced state of cognitive dissonance. It's like the U.S. government wants to drive its population crazy. And so what we say is that time has ended, and now in 2016, we have to have a change, a regime change, and we have to have extraterrestrial disclosure. Regime change in the U.S. and extraterrestrial disclosure. That's what I think has to happen for the realization that we're in a populated, organized omniverse to finally come. Because if you have a guy in the White House who's been on these projects for over 20 years, since 1980, with multiple witnesses, you know the guy now is a pathological liar.
Right.
And he's probably a mole.
Well, Andy, I just said Andy, Alfred, if you think about and you look back at the way Barack was on the Jimmy Kimmel show, he almost seemed uncomfortable, but at the same time comfortable. It was weird, and he didn't have a problem stating his opinions on the presence of ET and his investigations into it.
You know, they say that Barack won't do it because they'll kill him if he does. I think that's baloney. I think that's baloney.
Well, how do you think
out here, and it's us whistleblowers and us reporters,
right,
who have risked our lives. And if we go out and try to say there's life on Mars, it's us who risk getting killed. Because I remember being in Hawaii at the ET conference there in 2005 and getting a call from my client, Andy Bishago, saying the Bush White House just called me and said that if I continue with my revelations about time travel, they cannot guarantee my safety. And that was a man sent face to face from the George W. Bush White House.
Well, how do you think, well, Alfred, how do you think disclosure is ultimately going to happen?
It's going to happen through power and control. Look what Vladimir Putin just did in Syria with ISIS. You had that shill, that double agent in the White House, who has been collar-modeling ISIS in Syria, who has been telling the pilots, the U.S. pilots, to go to the edge of the desert and drop their bombs there. It was a lot of baloney.
But Alfred.
Putin got set up and he came in and he is knocking out ISIS, and ISIS is going to be toast in about a month.
Okay, Alfred, but that's not the question. How do you think disclosures ultimately
happen? And the answer is through elevation of consciousness by humans and through regime change. What's going to happen is that all of these Rockefeller team, you know, the team, all of the Bushes, all of the Camerons, all of the Trudeaus, all of the Obamas, that whole farm team, that Rockefeller, Rothschild farm team that's in now, that knows nothing but to give out the party line that, oh, we don't have the evidence for ET. Well, they can buy my book. And today, we still have a few minutes in Black Friday. It's on sale for half price at Amazon. So I urge people to go to Amazon and buy the Omniverse. You can get it either in Kindle or you can get it in soft cover. It's on half price on Black Friday. Okay, so what I'm telling you, it's going to be regime change and elevation of consciousness. The regime change is the change of the farm team of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. They're the guys who place all these Obamas, all the Camerons, all the Trudeaus, all these, you know, President Hollandes, who know nothing but to toe a party line that is nonsensical, that is driving their population into cognitive dissonance.
Well,
and
that's
what's going to bring disclosure.
But won't ET interfere with all of the negativity? You know, isn't it? Aren't they here to project a positive future and to run?
Yeah, and see, ET is here to support the human plan, and because Earth is a planet of humans, and that's a given. Earth is not a planet for ETs. The plan is not to have ETs land and they're like Big Brother and we become like the savages who want to have the latest trinkets. That's not the picture. The picture is the human plan. And so advanced upper dimensional ethical ET works behind the scenes along with the intelligent civilization of souls that comes to you in dreams and helps elevate your consciousness and shows you the right thing to do and the right way to go so that we can move these guys, these kind of shills who are in power now, who are part of a power control matrix that is a leftover from the Anunnaki occupation. That's why they all wear the same kind of hats. You know, the Pope's hat looks like the King's crown. That looks like the Anunnaki's things if you go back to their pictures. That's, you know, that game that we've been playing for 200,000 years, that chapter is over. We've closed that chapter. We're now in a new chapter. It's called the Omniverse chapter, and we're entering it, and we're entering the chapter of newly conscious citizens of the organized and highly populated universe and informed humans. This is a human planet. We have to do it on our own. And so right now we need a new farm team. We need to kick out the farm team of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. These are guys like Obama, they're guys like Hillary Clinton, they're guys like Donald Trump, who are, you know, manage news. All they're doing is bringing the same thing. They want war, disease, crime, and poverty, and that's what they want. And so we're kicking them out. And the ETs are helping us behind the scenes. It's all behind the scenes. There is going to be no landing on the White House lawn.
Thank you, Walter. Alfred, we are up against it. Thank you so much, Alfred Weber. And the new book is The Omniverse, Transdimensional Intelligence, Time Travel, The Afterlife, and The Secret Colony on Mars. All of the information is there. His website is www.exopolitics.com. Thank you so much. Great conversation, Alfred. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We're going to be taking your calls for the rest of the evening. This is Coast to Coast AM.